It is time for Conversations with the Mayors here on 97.9 The Hill. Support for the segment comes from the members of the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carborough. They are inviting you to join our local business leader community to get connected, stay informed, and drive progress. Visit their website, carolinachamber.org, to learn more about the Chamber and Chamber membership today. It is Wednesday, so we're talking the Orange County local government, and joining me on the phone to help do so is our chair of the County Commissioners, Renee Price. Renee, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, and it certainly is a hot one.
Yes, it is. Doing our best to let folks know about it. Stay cool as much as you can. It's just kind of that time of the year where it seems like it's either raining or threats of really bad rain or storms, or you're just going to roast outside.
Yeah, and people should really be careful. I mean, I heard you just now talking about a breeze, but it's a hot breeze.
Yes, I imagine so. Yeah, any sort of movement out there to try and help the air move around, I feel like is good, since it just feels so heavy. But yeah, well, it can only help to a certain extent. Well, Renee, we've been doing a pretty good amount of coverage on news from the Orange County government that came out on Monday, although it did go into effect on Friday. That, of course, is the extension to the state of emergency put in place by the county government for the COVID-19 pandemic. I figure that's as good of a place for us to start today as any. Can you walk us through how Orange County leaders landed on extending this state of emergency indefinitely?
Well, first of all, we said indefinitely because it's hard to put a timeline on anything, and we can rescind it at any time. That's the advantage of doing it, you know, by saying indefinitely, is that we at any time we can rescind it. However, looking at this Delta variant, it's, you know, people getting scared again, and we need to be concerned and cautious. And so we want to maintain the level of caution that we've been practicing for the past over a year now, almost, 16 months. Because even though we have the best vaccination rate in the state, we still do not have, you know, 90% of people vaccinated. We're around 66% of people that have gotten their doses, and it's pretty much plateaued. And so we really need to ramp up now, getting people to understand that the vaccine is safe, it's necessary, and this new variant, the Delta variant, is a problem. We're having what is called breakthroughs. And so even if you're vaccinated, you can still transmit or get this Delta variant of the virus.
We have talked about this a little bit in the past couple of days, but it's been a little while since you and I have discussed it directly. What are some of the things that the state of emergency helps our local governments in Orange County do when it comes to response to the virus?
Well, I would say probably the two main features is, number one, we can still help people that are facing eviction from their homes, and also to get federal monies as long as we're in a state of emergency. The other thing is that it's easier for us to get back together to stay together as we're trying to battle this pandemic. So to get all the various, you know, the health department, the emergency medical services, emergency services, elected officials, all of us, you know, we're still together. We're still working together to put in place various restrictions or policies. And I would say I only partially answered your first question, but what we want to do is encourage people to continue to wear their masks, and particularly in school, because we're getting ready to head back to school. One of the things that the governor mentioned last week was the school toolkit. And originally we were thinking that the order, if you will, was to mask children grades K through 8, and now it's looking And so and if you're listening to the CDC and their guidance, that we should be masking everyone that's in schools from, you know, from K through 12, because children can bring home the virus, or people that are unvaccinated can still spread the virus. So that was a major thing. But the major focus last week in the governor's announcement with the schools toolkit. And yet what we want to do here in Orange County is to continue to be very cautious and encourage people to continue to wear their masks, and to encourage friends and family members to get vaccinated. And if you're in a crowded area, beyond your control, again, wear the mask and be conscious of the number of people that are around you.
We're speaking with Chair of the Orange County Commissioners, Renee Price, orangecountync.gov, the website to go to in order to find out many of the updates from the county government, whether it's about COVID-19 or otherwise. And we're talking about the state of emergency in Orange County that just got extended. Earlier this week was the announcement, but it got extended on Friday, went into effect at that time. And Renee, you mentioned, of course, schools. I imagine that is top of mind for many people, since that is the group that is largely the most unvaccinated of everybody. But in your mind, in health officials' minds that you have spoken with, what are some of the things in the short term and the long term, looking ahead to the latter part of 2021, that most concerns you with the Delta variant really beginning to spread further in North Carolina?
Well, the fact that we're still waiting for a vaccine for children 12 and under age 12. And, you know, we're going to be putting them back together into the classrooms with their teachers and teachers' assistants and other school staff. And so it's going to be a challenge, particularly when we have no idea. It's hard to tell who's been vaccinated, who has not. And amongst the adults, even because we don't walk around with a passport or a card or anything like that, or a pin that says, you know, I've been vaccinated. So it's hard to tell. But again, with young children and coming, you know, huddling together because they like to be together. That's part of being a child. You know, you play together, you get close to folks. But then they're going to go home and, you know, potentially transmit the virus to someone else at home. So a lot of precautions are in that toolkit that the governor talked about. And of course, the governor's supposed to have another press conference tomorrow at 3:00. So we'll wait to get another update. And again, the concern for us will be safety in our school system. And then, of course, we have a university here, and I know that they're putting in as many precautions as they can, requirements for the students, whether they've been, even if they've been vaccinated. If they haven't, they have to report. They have to be tested, I believe, twice a week. So we're going to continue to do what we can. And Quintana Stewart, she's serious about this, and she's the boss. I'm taking my orders from her because this is very serious. We have lost too many lives to this virus, and now with it mutating and getting into our into the human body in different ways, it's scary.
We're speaking with
Chair. We're going to do all that we can.
We're speaking with Chair of the Orange County Commissioners, Renee Price. Renee, turning to a different aspect of the Orange County government, we've got a story that is running today on the Orange County Broadband Task Force. They're actually meeting tonight as well. And, you know, I don't expect you to necessarily know what is being discussed at that meeting. But for folks who might have missed our discussions in the past, I'm hoping that you can kind of go over the reasoning that the Orange County Commissioners decided to create this task force and what some of the broader goals of the county government is to address broadband needs and concerns in the area.
Well, one of the reasons that we started the task force was to engage people in the community in the discussion. The fact that we haven't been able to produce anything on our own right now, other than to extend Wi-Fi, you know, hotspots, we wanted people to know that we are working on this topic, but there's a lot that is beyond, most of it is beyond our control. We're unable to have our own broadband or internet service. Now, we can help with laying the infrastructure, but we can't connect people to the internet. That's beyond the scope of our authority. Now, what we did do, however, was in the budget in June, we appropriated $5 million for broadband using the ARP, well, the American, I shouldn't use acronyms, the American Rescue Plan Act funds that are coming to us. We're getting $28.8 million over the two-year span, and we appropriated $5 million of that to broadband. Now, we know it's not going to be enough, yet it's enough to get us started and to perhaps leverage some other possibilities, some proposals. And hopefully, as time goes on, that the state legislature and the federal government will come up with ways to help communities, particularly the rural areas. You know, we often think that, that the rural areas, there aren't that many people there, but there are a lot. The United States has a lot of rural territory, and even in Orange County, you just get a few feet outside of some of the municipalities, and it's very difficult to get internet service, which means that our children can't learn. There's an inequity there. People are unable to work from home. They're unable to get health care. And they're unable to even apply for a job or get other social services from their home. So what we're trying to do is be creative, be innovative, look outside the box, and consider whatever we can in terms of getting some of the, you know, cable or fiber laid down in Orange County and then help people to connect.
We're speaking with Orange County Commissioner Renee Price. And Renee, we've got to begin to wrap up, but I was going to say the American Rescue Plan, as stated in our reporting and story today, it seems like a big resource in terms of helping with broadband expansion. It's at the very least a start. And to wrap up, I'm curious, I know that this has been an issue that folks in the northern part of Orange County and elected officials, local officials have been aware of for a long time, but I feel like the general public, either in Orange County or across the U.S., if you have Wi-Fi, you just don't think about this very much. If you have a steady internet connection, it doesn't come to mind. It only happens when you are in a place that doesn't have it, where you realize just how challenging that kind of stuff can be. You know, between the federal government talking about it more and there being money allocated to stuff like that in the American Rescue Plan and more conversations being had coming out of the pandemic, how does that help Orange County kind of move forward with those conversations just happening and getting really going?
Well, as they say, a rising tide lifts all boats. And at the national level, particularly, and I can speak to what the National Association of Counties, or NACO, is doing, and also our state association, North Carolina Association of County Commissioners, both have had broadband as the number one priority in terms of advocacy. And again, as I said, with so much of our state and our nation is rural, and so many people are suffering from the lack of internet, the lack of broadband, and particularly during the pandemic. So the cry is becoming broader and louder, and also getting better data. The FCC, the Federal Communications, was using data that was incorrect. And we've NACO actually came up with an app called Test It, Test IT, that was measuring, you know, speeds, you know, upload, download speeds, to get a more accurate reading of internet access or even Wi-Fi. So with that, we're able to push our agenda even further, and hopefully we can come up with some new ideas and get the telecom companies to work with us, because this is affecting everyone. And even people that do have Wi-Fi, even the cost is going up on that. And there are spots where people, there are pockets where people don't get service, even in inner city areas. So it's the cry, as I said, the cry for broadband to be considered a public utility or part of our necessary infrastructure is becoming louder and broader.
OrangeCountyNC.gov, the website to go to for all things Orange County government. County Commissioner Renee Price, as always, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, thank you.